reading to you from 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter and with the 15th verse. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Pray for us, William. I'm been having some real bad dizzy spells this past week, and I know that God has the power to heal and make me well, and so I'm trusting that He will, and I'm trusting that our listeners will pray for us because we appreciate it. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the fourth chapter of John, and let's begin reading with the 34th verse. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, and is true. I sent you to reap what you have done, work for others, what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and then you have reaped the benefits of their labors. I've labeled this fall faith. You know, there is nothing any more beautiful than to go up here in the mountains now that the trees have all turned gold. It is absolutely the most beautiful sight in the world. And fall is a scenic scene. September brings nostalgia, school days, memories in the air. October, when the master painter displays his work. Oh, friends, his trees are ablaze, lakes are crystal clear, fish are jumping. Hunters head for their favorite haunts, finding places to be alone. Birds start migrating to warmer places. Snowbirds do, too. Harvest moons inspire lovers to wax elegant. And November turns our thoughts to thankfulness. What does fall have to do with faith? Well, and I read in 35th verse, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Oh, my precious friends, evidence of the Lord's handiwork is everywhere. It must be difficult to be an atheist during this scenic season. Fall should remind us of God's love, His care, His plan. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. My wife and I went up to the bank, in the drive-in bank, and I pulled right up there, and boom, my van stopped. I mean, it stopped dead. And I turned the key, and the battery was dead. Well, I knew that wasn't right, but it wouldn't turn over. So my wife got on her cell phone and she started calling my family. Not any of them were home. So I said, well, here, I said, I have towing insurance. So I gave it to her and she called, and they spoke in a language you couldn't understand, and it was getting hot, and it was just kind of a bad thing. Well, it's time for the bank to close. And, you know, as a diabetic, I have to eat. And my wife said, well, there's only about a half a block over here to a little restaurant. I'll go get something and bring it over to eat until they come jumpstart our van. Well, what do you suppose happened? The banker, my banker, walked out of the bank and had a thing to jumpstart my van. He said, you better hook that thing up, because he said, I don't want that to blow up in my face. Well, I said, if it does, sir, I said, I'll bury you free. I mean, I'm a preacher. And he laughed. And we got the car started. Well, the alternator wasn't working, or the voltage. Something was wrong, because nothing indicated the speed odometer, nothing. And I said, well, we're going to try to go and make it to our house, which was about 3 or 4 miles. Traffic was heavy. And every time I let up on the gas, it acted like it was going to die. Anyway, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And guess what? The Lord got us home, and that's as far as she went. You see, friends, I don't know how you feel about the Lord, but you know He's concerned even about the little things in our lives. So many times we look at the big things, like when you have terminal cancer or something, or bad heart. But I'm telling you, He's concerned about the very little things. Well, He got us home, and I thanked Him for that. Well, fall should remind us for God's great care, His plan. Looking up ought to keep us from looking down. Listen, it's tough to be positive when you're in the pits, isn't it? Sure it is. Fall reminds us of God's design and His creation. Fall is a season to marvel over God's greatest design, salvation. Oh, friends, that's the most important thing that you'll ever do on this life. Not becoming the President of the United States, or not becoming a rich or famous or a movie star. When we stand before God, beloved, those of us who know Jesus, He's going to ask us to give an account for our lives. He's not going to say, how much money did you make, Cecil? Or how famous were you? Or how many TV programs were you on? Or how many years were in you in radio? He's going to ask me, where's those ones I put you out to try to reach for Christ? That's right. And He's going to ask you the very same question. Now, fall is a season to look on the fields. And again, I read in verse 35, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now listen, they're white and they're all ready to get out and pick. Hey, there's beauty in the harvest. And there is blessings in harvest for souls. It's so important that a church look on the fields. Oh, friends, listen, I don't want you to think I'm mad at the church, but the church, many of them are just not doing nothing. They're having their little dinners, and they're having their little ta-ta prayer meetings, and their little this and their little that, and they're scheduling a revival because that's what we're supposed to do. Instead of the Lord sending revival, we think we can bring revival. We can't revive. We can't make. We can't bring revival. Man can't bring revival. I'm an evangelist. I can't bring revival. Billy Graham was the greatest evangelist of all, and he couldn't bring revival. Only the Spirit of the living God can bring revival. And when Christians who look into their hearts and lives and repent of their sins cry out to the Lord, He'll send revival. He'll heal our lands. Well, we're to look upward and outward. Oh, but friends, there's a danger in always looking inward. You know, my dad was a wheat and cattle rancher in the Dalles. And I remember how Dad just loved when the wheat was ripe to put that big old combine out there and go out in the fields and harvest that grain. You know, a lot of you people aren't old enough to remember this. But see, on our combine, we had a 21-horse team. 21 horses that they had to hook up on that big old combine. And our fields were so steep that they used levelers. That's true. Levelers on combines to keep them upset. And lots of times some of them did upset. And I can remember as a 12-year-old boy driving an RD diesel, driving in harvest, and I bet I didn't weigh 70 pounds. And I'd pull that big old cat and go around those fields. But how thankful we were when harvest was over. We pulled all of our equipment into it. We had huge, huge barns. And Dad would put that combine in there, and all winter long, they'd repair drapers, and they would do this. And by spring, or by the time we were to go in the fields, that harvester was ready to go. Nowadays, friends, here in Colorado, they have these $250,000 tractors. Yeah, the four-force, eight tires on them. They have air conditioning in them. They have cell phones. They have music. They've got everything. And you know what they do when the fall's over? They pull that stupid thing over by the barn and leave it out in the snow. $200,000. Oh, boy. You wonder why they're not making it. Let's look on the fields rather than on the faults of others. And boy, you know what, friends? Isn't it easy to see the fault in your wife or your husband? Oh, my stars, yes. But it's hard for me to see my faults because I don't have any. Oh, sure I do. But you know, we are that way. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. There are no perfect churches nor perfect pastors, nor perfect evangelists or Sunday school teachers or deacons. But I can tell you one thing. We have a perfect Savior. Look to Him. And I'm asking you a very important question. Please listen to this. Are you focusing on the lost around your neighborhood? How much do you care about lost people? Are you acting on their concern? Well, fall is a season to labor and harvest. Verse 36, it says, everyone, even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Friends, I got to tell you about something like that. Years and years and years ago, when I was emptying bedpans in a rest home, that's right, and I was cooking the dinner for the night watch. And my stars, in the morning, you just can't believe what we saw there. And all those people were old, old. I'm 84. They were 90, 84. And I was about 55, I guess. But anyway, I'd go in there and I'd empty their bedpans and stuff. But anyway, the way I got that church, I led a nurse to Christ in that hospital or in that rest home. And her husband was an alcoholic. And she brought him to my house on a Saturday. And I introduced him to Christ. Well, there was no church out there in Culver or in... Anyway, there was no church there, there was one church, but it didn't really preach the gospel. And so I went out there, my wife and I, and we took a survey of that field, Corbett, and we rented a big, big hall. It was a Grange hall for $50 a month. Now, that year, we introduced 50 people to Jesus Christ. Now you say, boy, you must have been a good preacher. No, it wasn't that at all. Let me tell you what happened. Years before then, there was an American Sunday School, and they came out there, and they held Sunday School, And these people went there and they listened. They didn't lead them to Christ, nor did they start a church. Then they left. Well, we just went out and harvested where we didn't even straw. We didn't do anything but just introduce them to Christ. Oh, friends, this is true in the fields of fruit and grain. This is true in the area of soul winning. Methods of harvesting change. Adopt and win souls. Use every possible way to reach the lost. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save others. You know, as you know, a year ago, I had a cancer operation. Before that, I was taking vibe treatments for my cancer. I was trying everything I could to keep from being operated on. This operator of this vibe machine said she had an alcoholic friend who was losing his home and business because of booze. I told her to have him call me, and he did. And I was privileged to introduce him to Christ. Since trusting the Lord over a year ago, he's paid off all his bills, saved his business and his house. And you know what, friends, if I had not had cancer, I would have never met Kevin. Can you believe that? I would have never, never met that man. Well, while I was a director of the rescue mission in North Dakota, I got a tumor on my arm and on my neck. So I went in and had them removed. Well, I got infection and was hospitalized for 3 days. Well, a nurse came into my room and said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Please come with me. I have a serious problem in room 200. This lady had just lost her eyesight and was trying to kill herself. I ministered to her, and for the next 2 days, those nurses had me visiting people. What a joy. God had a plan for me to go to that hospital to be able to minister to people. And did you know what? You'd be surprised when God puts you in a place where you can serve him. That's right. He'll put you in a place where you can be used of the Lord if you want to be used. Friends, listen to me. Here is a daily prayer that I do pray. I've told you about it many times. This prayer says, "Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and do me the power from on high. Lord, give me holy boldness and give me precious souls for my hire." He'll do the very same thing for you. That's what I've been telling Millie and them. You've got to pray up, be prayed up, paid up, filled with His Spirit, filled with the love of God, and go and look at those people, because, dear friends, if they die in their lost condition, they will go to hell. Nah, you say, "Oh, Cecil, come on. You surely don't believe that there's such a thing as hell." Oh, yes, there is. And the devil is trying his dead level best to make you think that he loves you. I remember one time while I was the director of the mission in North Dakota, this beautiful young 19 or 18-year-old girl came into my office and she said, "Preacher, I've been hitchhiking on the road. Could you put me up for a night in the mission?" I said, "Yes." I said, "We have, the men stay downstairs in the basement." And I said, "We have several apartments that we put up women who've been abused or people who are stranded." I said, "Sure, you can go up and have a room." So I gave her a room. And I sat there and I thought about that. I thought, what is an 18-year-old girl out on the highway hitchhiking? This is nonsense. This is suicide. So I sent my daughter up and had her come down to my office. I said, "Young lady, you know what? I've got daughters your age. And I worry about you out there on that road." And I said, "Let me tell you about my friend Jesus." That beautiful girl turned into the most ugly thing I ever saw in my life. She said, "I want you to know I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus." I couldn't believe I've never dealt with an atheist before. I've dealt with agnostics. Now, an agnostic will believe there's a God, but they say, "So what? But atheists out and out don't believe there's a God. I have a hard time with that, but they say they don't. And they think if they serve Satan that he's going to give them favor. He's going to take them right to hell with him. He's going to hell. He's going to burn. Yes, he is. Well, years ago, I was sitting in my office out in Parker. And it came to me, why don't you put an ad in the local newspaper and ask if anyone was tired of being an alcoholic? If they were, give me a call. And sure enough, I received a phone call. And guess what he was? He was a Jewish lawyer. I had the privilege of introducing him to Christ, and not only did it save his soul, but it saved his marriage. My wife saw him not so long ago, and they're just so happy. Listen, he said, yes, I will become all things to all men that some can be saved. Friends, listen to me. God has great rewards for reapers. What will you do to bring in the harvest? You say, Cecil, I don't have any qualifications. If you're born again, beloved, you have qualifications. Your name is even written in the Lamb Book of Life. And you're going to have a mansion someday. But do you want to stand before the Lord with empty hands? Or do you want to stand with him and the precious souls? They're out there. Oh, they're lost people everywhere you go. And you know what? A lot of them are looking for the answer, but they don't even know what the question is. Now, I knew that there was a God. My parents were Christians when they died, and I was young. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Jesus. I didn't know him. Now, when I was 9 years old, I heard that great evangelist, Billy Sunday. He came to Odell to speak, and I sat on the edge of my seat as that dear evangelist talked about Jesus and how that we could repent of our sins and we could have a new life. From that day forth on, I wanted to be a Christian. But I wasn't saved till I was 30 years old. Think of the misery I went through. I want to ask you, friends, you have a little tugging at your heart tonight. Are you disappointed in life? Are you discouraged? Have you lost your home or lost a loved one or your job? And you're beside yourself. I urge you, won't you come to Jesus tonight? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. He wants to make you new in Jesus. And if you have that tugging at your heart, would you pray this prayer? But, oh, beloved, please don't pray it unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll forgive my many sins. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life and for the mistakes I've made. And tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. God loves you. Christ died for you. He wants to do something in your life. Well, if you'd like to talk to me tonight, you can call me, Collect, 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Touched me.
Oh, he touched me.
And oh, the life is blessed, Savior. Sins he cleansed and made me whole. I will never cease to praise him. Oh, I'll shout.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Knoll. Thank you, precious ones, for listening. I want to thank you for your prayers. Oh, my stars. Without them, I couldn't operate. And I just thank you so much. Well, friends, pray for our prison ministries. And that is a tremendous ministry, dear friends. I don't know if you realize how, there's, thousands of people that have prayed to receive Christ over this past 25 years when my quartet, my wife, and I went to all these prisons. I can only go to one prison now because it's pretty close, and I can't travel anymore like I used to. Well, friends, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.